Brothers and sisters, in the last session, we looked at each word of Job who misconceived God as the God of predestination. He misunderstood that God dogmatically predestined and controlled all things in pursuit of His benefits. He even claimed that even the coming of rain, flashes of lightning, and rolls of thunder were according to God's predestination. Ultimately, Job wanted to say that even as a righteous person, he was suffering according to God's predestination, that God was evil, and that he himself was in an unfair situation. But I told you that God created us, man, gave us free will, and rules the world due to His love for us, and according to His predestination by foreknowledge. God gave men free will so they can choose on their own. God placed the tree of the knowledge in the Garden of Eden and allowed man to make choices out of his own free will. Likewise, we can say that at every moment of our life, we are standing at the crossroads between good and evil and truth and untruth. Not only do we have to choose between good and evil, but we always have to make choices from what to eat and where, to what job to take, and whom to get married. As the world gets increasingly drenched in sins and evil, even evil deeds are often purified. As the world gets increasingly drenched in sins and evil, even evil deeds are often purified. People's value systems are being undermined, and evil and lawlessness are sometimes seen as good and righteous. At such a time as this, we are to discern things correctly and make right choices in all areas of our life. The reason is, depending on what path we choose to walk, among many paths lying ahead of us, we can have joy and make our lives more valuable. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 1 tells us, "A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold." I urge you to closely examine whether your choices seek God's glory and bring down His favor, or seek worthless and perishable things. I pray in the name of the Lord that you always make valuable and wise choices in the truth and enjoy His favor. Your choices today determines your tomorrow and your future. So every moment you have to try to make right choices. You choose to pray or not to pray. This is also a choice. By praying today, you can have better tomorrow and you can have better results. But this is also, even now we are at the crossroads, and we also have to take responsibility for our choices. I hope that you always make wise and beautiful choices. In chapter 28, which we will look into today, Job reminisces over the days he enjoyed God's company. While struggling in afflictions, Job had displayed evil, lamented and mourned before God, desperately shared his afflictions, and complained about the injustice he was suffering. Then he made a pause and started talking about his good old days. We read in chapter 29, verses 1 and 2, "And Job again took up his discourse and said, 'Oh, that I were as in months gone by, as in the days when God watched over me.'" Here, the months gone by refers to the many days that had gone by. In the verses, we see how Job reminisced over and missed his past and days, saying like, "How good it would be if I could go back to the time when God looked after me." Chapter 29, verse 3 says, "When His lamp shone over my head, and by His light I walked through the darkness." His lamp shining over his head signifies that even though Job was in the midst of the valley of shadow of death, He was accompanied by God and could walk around in light. Job intended to say that he used to be so confident that he was not afraid of darkness. Job went on to say in chapter 29, verse 4, "As I was in the prime of my days, when the friendship of my God was over my tent." In the verse, the prime of his days refers to the time where Job enjoyed abundance in all things and prosperity as well as good health. Namely, it is when Job was having the time of his life. What kind of life Job led before he suffered trials? As we find in Job chapter 1 verse 1, Job was acknowledged as a man who was blameless and upright, feared God, and had turned away from evil. Also, chapter 1 verses 2 and 3 tell us, 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. His possessions also were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, and 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 female donkeys, and very many servants, and that man was the greatest of all men of the East. Even thousands of years ago, Job was greatly blessed with such massive quantities of possessions. Back in the days when Job lived in such blessings, Job said that the friendship with God was over his family and businesses. Friendship is about sharing each other's heart and enjoying a bond. Job was reminiscing over the days when he was close to God, diligently gave him burnt offerings, longed for him, and enjoyed friendship with him. As Job went through harsh trials, he resented God and depicted him as a bad one, but at the same time, he acknowledged that the blessings he enjoyed in the past were by God's grace. When things go well, people often confess, "God, thank you." But in the face of a big test, they deny him, saying, "Where is God?" I believe you sometimes come across people who say the following as you share the gospel. Now I'm not attending church, but I used to serve God well. But this is not true. Why? If they had known and believed God the right way, they would have never turned away from faith. How could they have left God while knowing that there are heaven and hell? Since their faith wasn't true, they go back to the world. If we take a look at these people, they seemingly have good faith in God and work faithfully, but in the face of some test or tribulation, they complain and lament. The reason is they don't believe in God from their heart. They come before Him anticipating visible blessings, expecting something in return for their deeds, or seeking luck. When they believe in God, they know that they will receive financial blessings. Some church workers, they expect that if they work hard, they will become the head. That doesn't mean church leaders have some kind of a physical power. Even if you are a leader in a church, if you don't circumcise your heart, if you don't demonstrate faithfulness acknowledged by God, you won't be great ones in heaven. You will be small ones. Some people long for the measure of faith, but in doing that, they sought some physical power or authority. Leading a Christian life with that purpose in mind are of no use. But then once they fail to receive answers and blessings, they resent and leave God. But even in such a distressful situation, Job still acknowledged God, not forgetting Him. Job continued to reminisce over the past. Some people say that everything I enjoyed was by my hard work, but Job was different. But Job acknowledged that everything he enjoyed was from God. Because God was with him, he could enjoy all these things. He had a kind of a good heart, we can say. I hope that you also have to apply this in yourselves. When you are joyful, you praise God, but in trouble, what did you do? Did you lose the gratitude for what you have? And what about Job? He used to share things with others, and Job's friends even criticized Job, saying that everything he did was out of evil. Even about the good things he did, Job's friends depicted them as evil. But what about Job? Job continued to reminisce over the past. Chapter 29, verse 5 reads, "When the Almighty was yet with me, and my children were around me," Job remarked that before the test came, back in his good old days, God kept him company, and the evidence was that he lived with his children. Job claimed that because God had left him, his children were gone, and he was only suffering like that. Brothers and sisters, we have to know that this is false. Just because you are suffering troubles and trials, can you say that God has left you? Rather, trials are the evidence of God being with you. Because you are God's children, He makes a delicate intervention in your life and allows you to go through trials of love. Like in the case of Job, God may allow your trials to give you greater blessings. He may also give you trials to turn you from sins. Even when He does so, He has not abandoned you. He earnestly wants you to turn from sins and change through trials. God doesn't punish His illegitimate children. Even after he willfully commits such sins, if God doesn't punish them, they feel anxious because when they feel anxious, that means they are having an awakening from the Holy Spirit. If they ignore the Holy, even that awakening, they live as if there was no God, and they live and they just leave God. So, when you go through trials, you have to give thanks. And even when you are without trials, after you commit sins, you are thus, never think that when God is with you, only when you have joy and the fullness in your heart, but He is not when you are in trials and sadness. Job went on to say in chapter 29, verse 6, "When my steps were bathed in butter, and the rock poured out for me the streams of oil." Here, Job is describing how he enjoyed abundance when God was with him. Butter is made from milk, and it was rare and precious back in his days. So, his steps being bathed in butter indicates how abundant his life was. So Job was figuratively speaking about that, but he was explaining about the abundance. Streams of oil being poured out for him also means that Job possessed enormous wealth. Brothers and sisters, I think you too reminisce over the past. Oftentimes, you may well have regretful or lamentable memories as well as joyful ones. But please don't ever say that you are. Please don't ever say that you were happier not believing in God in the past. None of you. People with weak faith could find their Christian life stressful, thinking, "If I wasn't attending church, I would slip in, watch TV, and enjoy myself on Sundays." And novice believers may have such thoughts, but we are to know how foolish this thought is. The reason is, the wages of sin is death or hell, whereas the life of living in the truth results in everlasting life and heaven. If you know this fact, how could you say things like, I want to live a comfortable life on this earth, committing sins for decades, and then suffer eternally in the fire of hell after death? Unbelievers may say that it's okay for me to go to hell because they don't have faith. But if you believe that there are heaven and hell, you cannot say that. So, no one would... Among people who are going through trials are those who lament and say, why did I come across this gospel of holiness and walk down this narrow way? It's so distressful to fight against sins to the point of shedding blood. But the purpose of our being cultivated on this earth is not just to receive salvation, but to become true children who understand the heart of the Father God and enter the glorious city of New Jerusalem. As for athletes aiming for gold in the Olympics, they are rigorously trained, trying to improve their prowess for years or decades. While they persevere and make tireless efforts even for the transient earthly glory, with what kind of heart should they lead a Christian life if they have everlasting hope for heaven? In leading a Christian life, we should always be grateful for the grace of the Lord who saved us who are destined for eternal death. Moreover, since we've set our goal on New Jerusalem, the most beautiful place in heaven, we can happily walk this path. Also, as much as our faith grows, we can enjoy good health and receive blessings in our families, workplaces, and businesses. How thankful we should be for this. Even if we find ourselves in trials, we are to pray, God, thank you, with faith that He will make you even stronger, grow you spiritually, and bless you. While little children grow up, they can boost their immunity and get stronger both physically and mentally as they recover from diseases like cold or measles. By the same token, we can also attain to stronger and bold faith by going through trials. God accompanies those who trust, look to, and rely on Him, but He doesn't answer us always the way we want. He leads us to become perfect through trials and ultimately answers us with better things. If parents always give in to their children's whining just because they are lovable, they would grow up into adults who are self-centered and not able to serve others. They are likely to lack self-reliance and social ability and end up becoming an egoist. Thus, even though parents may need to compliment their children, if they indeed love them, once they commit a fault, they have to scold them or punish them out of love, even though they may need to compliment them at times. In doing so, they have to raise them appropriately according to their growth process. In the following verses, Job described what kind of position he was in while he enjoyed abundance in the past. Chapter 29, verses 7 and 8 say, when I went out to the gate of the city, when I took my seat in the square, the young men saw me and hid themselves, and the old men across arose and stood. The gate of the city was the entrance to the city and served to protect the city. As you find in the Bible, the gate of the city was the place where deals were made and verified and judgments were made. There, prophets proclaimed the word of God as well. The fact that Job went out to such a significant place, the gate to the city, indicates how great his power was. In the Old Testament, the gate has a special meaning. And then, because Job had such great authority, he was at the gate, and he also... Until before tests came, thanks to his power and wealth, Job had a high status with which he could take his seat in the square. From the fact that the young man hid himself and the old man stood at the side of him, we can infer how dignified he was. Back in the days of old, when a king or a high official passed by a town, mischievous boys there became quiet and silently watched him from afar. But when a beggar or a homeless person passed by, they mocked him, following him around. In historical drama, we can see such scenes. We find such a scene in the Bible as well. It was when Prophet Elijah was going up to Bethel after performing various signs in the city of Jericho. Then a group of children mocked and severely bothered him. The reason was he was almost bald and looked shabby in appearance. Even though Prophet Elijah tried admonishing them with good words, it was no use. Rather, they followed and bothered him more intently. It went to the point where Prophet Elijah couldn't stand it anymore and cursed them in the name of the Lord. But as Job was such a dignified person, when he walked on the streets, young men hid themselves, and even old men stood when they saw him. Here, we can speculate what kind of status he had, being welcomed and respected even by the elderly. But one thing we have to note here is that one's physical status, fame, wealth, and power cannot win others' heart indeed. When what he has possessed and enjoyed disappears, those who followed and accompanied him turn away from him. What vanity this is. We also have to realize that such fleshly things are not true values representative of himself. Many people take great pride in themselves, showing off the power and possessions that they have. But what happens once they've lost all such things? They feel ashamed of themselves, fear meeting people, and hide. The greater their power and wealth have been, the greater loss and despair they feel. But people with a pure and truthful heart stay confident and bold even if they've lost all of their wealth, fame, and power. They're not afraid of any power in the world. Whomever they meet, they just show themselves as they are and make honest confessions. They have no deceit or hypocrisy. Since they have no desire to exaggerate or hide anything, they don't feel ashamed or burdened whomever they talk to. Contrarily, people who are inclined to hide or exaggerate things avoid talking with others when they find themselves in a lower position. Some people have an inferiority complex and even lose their self-esteem as they find themselves lacking in knowledge and living in poverty. But we are to know that poverty and lack of knowledge are not sins, but an untruthful life is. Even our Jesus, at times, let's consider our Jesus. At times, Jesus slept outside because he had no place to sleep. He would also skip a meal, having no food to eat. As he said in Matthew chapter 8, verse 20, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He neither lived a rich life nor enjoyed power. Still, he acted boldly even before Pontius Pilate, who was a man of great power in his time. He was not intimidated wherever he went, because he was the truth itself. The same way, as much as we achieve goodness and truthfulness, we can stay bold and confident in our life. Reminiscing over his past, Job escalated the comments about his past status, power, and abundance. Chapter 29, verses 9 and 10 read, "The princes stopped talking and put their hands on their mouths. The voice of the nobles was hushed, and their tongue stuck to their palate." Here, princess refers to high-ranking politicians or officials. Even such people stopped talking and covered their mouths at the sight of Job. Even the nobles were respectful to him and became silent in his presence, like their tongue had stuck to their palate. Even though Job was admired and respected that way, as he was in a miserable position, they began to persecute and point fingers at him. This is what fleshly people are like. As God's children, we have to achieve spiritual love by which we won't forget the grace we received. Even when we see a brother in trouble, we have to stand by him without wavering. There's an old saying that goes, when a dog of a high official dies, his house is overcrowded with people, but he has no visitors for his own funeral. This means that while a man of power is alive, many people just flock to his house and make it overcrowded, even when his pet dog dies. But when he himself dies, no one visits his house since they don't have to seek his recognition. This saying well explains man's craftiness and duplicity. This was true of Job's situation. When Job had wealth and power, many people pretended to follow and love him, but as he lost his power and became penniless in a single day, people looked away from him and even scorned him. Then, how did Job treat these people? So far, we've seen Job not hesitating to utter all kinds of slandering and cursing words while disputing with his friends. Job was a man of an outstanding character and virtues and worthy of many people's respect. But as he lost all things and suffered with sore boils, he went beyond complaining and lamenting. He uttered evil words, which was unimaginable before. Previously, he led a lofty life in which he helped the needy and practiced good. Yet, it finally turned out that he was no different than his friends. So, even the good deeds Job previously displayed cannot be said to be perfect ones. God was well aware of this fact even before Job's trials. So, God couldn't help but put him through trials to change him into a perfect man who resembled him. So, before we go through trials, we don't know about ourselves. Even Job didn't acknowledge himself. He didn't know about himself. Job's friends called him evil. And he didn't know that he was acting like his friends. So that's why he needed to go through trials. So whatever situation you meet, you may have an excuse. Why does he misunderstand me? Why does he bother me? But you have to think about how you should change yourself. Then your trials will end quickly. I hope you examine yourself here. Even today, people are inclined to evaluate a person based on his look, the way he dresses, and the car he drives. They are also carried away by others' rhetoric or flattery. As for an untruthful person, he changes his attitude depending on whom he's dealing with. He kindly treats people who seem beneficial to him and tries to show only good aspects of him. But if you have a good and truthful heart, you wouldn't evaluate another person by his outer appearance. Our God doesn't look at our appearance, but He searches and considers our heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 tells us, God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Some people try to look better just by improving their look and outward deeds, but what we have to purify and cleanse indeed is our heart. Even though a person works on his outer appearance and manners through education, as long as he has sins and evil in his heart, he can't be said to be a beautiful one in God's eyes. There is a term, lookism. Nowadays, people show growing interest in looks. More and more people who are not even TV stars are undergoing plastic surgery. But even if you make yourself look beautiful, unless you do the whole duty of man, there's no differences in the value of your life from God's perspectives. True values can be found in the truth itself that remains unchanged forever. Thus, we are to love and cherish those who remain steadfast no matter the circumstance or test. We are to honor a person for his truthfulness rather than his look, wealth, power, or knowledge. We ourselves should also realize the true value and focus on beautifying our inner part rather than our look. As much as we become beautiful in spirit, we are loved by God, can have all things go well with us, and enjoy good health. Even in heaven, we'll be close to the throne of God. Also, depending on how much we cultivate our heart in the truth, even our outer appearance would give off the light and aroma of Christ. So people would find true beauty exuding from us. Thus, as said in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, "For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. I hope that you will glorify God through the aroma of the Christ emanate from you and lead many souls to the arms of the Lord." Brothers and sisters, as King Solomon, who enjoyed the greatest wealth and honor in his time, recalled his past days, he didn't conclude, "It was awesome to enjoy all things to my heart's content." Instead, he confessed that all things were only vanity. He realized that true satisfaction didn't lie in money, power, or any pleasures, but only in the life of fearing God. As Job reminisced over his past of living in abundance, he said that the days were good, but we have to find our present life better than our past and our future much better. The reason is, if we always keep the word in faith and act accordingly, it's only natural that our present life should be better than our past, and our future even better. As we spend more days as Christians, we learn the word of God and pray more. In doing so, we are to resemble our Lord and adorn ourselves well as the Lord's bride. By making our soul prosper and building a more intimate relationship with God, we are to overflow with blessings both physically and spiritually. Day after day, we get closer and closer to the heavenly gates, and the day of meeting our Lord, our groom, draws nearer and nearer. How thankful we should be. Hopefully, all of you won't find your present life lamentable while reminiscing over your past, as Job did. May you lead a life of no regrets by loving God more than you did in the past and loving Him even more in the future. By doing so, I pray in the name of the Lord that when He comes again, you will be held in His embrace in pure joy and thrills.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu go away. May you protect them from all diseases, heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers, and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding, and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.